Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200 for service. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. 444-7200. My friend Dustin King with Legacy Church.
And yes, sir.
He's does all the homeless ministry coordination for the church. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, we're... I'm very glad to be here. I was about to say we're. I don't know who else I'm talking about.
Well,
I'm very glad to be with you today.
Hey, we can't. I want to talk about all the things you're doing to,
sure,
outreach to the homeless here, sure, in the city of Albuquerque. We're going to talk about Feed New Mexico Kids. But before we do that, you're about to be a new dad.
I am. Yeah, we're me and my wife. This is a we. We're very excited. We're maybe 9 days out. We're the 28th of this month. So,
oh, now famously, this is what God will do. You might get a call during the show because you,
right,
said it's 9 days out.
That's right. That's right.
And by the way, if that happens, you're out of here.
If it happens, I got to go. So,
no, that's really fun. I can remember each of my five children being born. There is nothing more amazing, but, and I don't want to embarrass you at all, but, mm-hmm, I figured out that I knew nothing about anatomy and physiology,
right,
watching a child being born.
Well, yeah, and we had to watch that not too long ago as part of our, like, learning, you know, and I can definitely tell you I had never seen that before, and I could have probably done without it, honestly.
Yeah, but you will be so amazed, and it's so miraculous.
Absolutely.
All the things that happen watching, yeah, a child be born. It almost brings tears to my eyes thinking about that, because,
yeah,
each one of them,
right,
is really, really different.
Different, yeah. And I, you know, I was just talking with my wife the other day, because, you know, we're sitting there and he's, you know, kicking, right, just hitting her and, you know, all this stuff, and she looks at me and she's like, there's a person in there. I'm like, I know. Like, it's a person. Yeah, so it blows me away to realize, like, there's a human. You're making a human. So
and
it's
sounds
amazing.
Like he's ready to get out of there.
He is. And Mama is finally at the point where she's ready. You know, because all up until this point, it's been, I can't imagine not having him with me. I can't, you know, he's not going to be there when I go to work, you know. And so all the way up until this point, it's been that. And then now, we've officially gotten to the point where she's like, yeah, he's going to need to, like, because now his kicks hurt. So,
yeah. Dustin, you are already anticipating, I'm sure, all the love and care and the time that you're going to put into this child.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people in our city that don't have the benefit of that.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the biggest things. Honestly, there was a moment where my wife originally is the one who heard about, well, I guess I had heard about it, but Melanie hears about it. She hears Holly, who is the director of Feed New Mexico Kids for the state. She hears her explaining back on the morning invasion and says, hey, this is what is going on. This is the need. And honestly, I wish I had could say, you know, yeah, I heard it too and was like, oh, I got, but I heard it and went, oh, we probably need to, like, get some stuff and take it down there and drop it off. Melanie hears it, and suddenly it's like, well, what are we doing? And just getting some food together was not enough. And so it birthed something in me, and I went to my local congregation, Legacy Church, and was like, hey, you know, do you think we could participate in this in more than a way of just, oh, we'll get some food over, but could we make a bigger difference and take some schools on as a church, as a congregation, and say, you know what, for these kids – in our area, we're going to make a difference in their lives.
And that started with a few. And now you told me before we went on the air, as many as 10 schools you're taking.
Yeah. So, and really technically even more, because what we've done is wherever we have one of our legacy campuses, we're trying to reach out in those areas also. So we have 10 schools in Albuquerque, and then we've got Rio Rancho Elementary. And then we have the Moriarty High School, because we have a campus out in Edgewood, New Mexico, our East Mountain campus.
Yeah.
So we're trying, you know, so we're expanding from that. And then in this last year, during all the COVID stuff, we also now have two reservations that we've been taking snack packs out to to go with the food boxes that we've been doing as part of Legacy.
So let's make sure our listeners, and they're probably sick of me explaining this, but Feed New Mexico Kids provides snack packs,
yes,
for, non-perishable food items, mm-hmm, as tasty as you can possibly make them and as, yeah, nutritious,
right,
as, but you want to make them so that they don't have to be prepared.
Right. It's the things that go in these are things that need to be, a kid needs to be able to open them up, pull anything that's out of it, grab a, you know, whatever utensil and eat. The purpose behind that is because some of the kids that are receiving it, they don't have an adult with them at these times to be able to prepare them. Or the adult that is there, you know, as horrible as it is, you know, the adult may be strung out. The adult may be not available at a time to help get the food to them. So because that's not there, we want that kid to be able to open up that bag and eat any item that's in it, and, you know, with or without preparation.
Well, so, you mentioned Holly Slade, who's the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids, but
yes,
I think it's a fascinating story about how you found out about the ministry.
Right.
And then you called Holly, and Holly really just helped you as a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to share this because,
sure,
we need other churches to join.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, is understanding the great thing about Feed New Mexico Kids is it's not a Legacy ministry, it's not a Calvary ministry, it's not any of the other churches that have come along, which there are several now that have come alongside, as well as businesses, organizations. You know, people can drop off at, you know, the police departments, they can drop food off. So there are so many different groups and organizations. If you look at the website, feednmkids.com, that you can see on there all the different places where food can be dropped off. And there's so many ways, but specifically churches, you know, there is a huge need that we know about. And before COVID, we were talking over 4,000 kids in the APS area that are considered homeless, according to McKinney-Vento. So if that was before COVID, you know, we got to realize we've lost track of a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of kids that APS hasn't been able to fully find yet and figure out what's going on. There was a news article or a thing on the channel, maybe 13, that talked about at one point there was like 4,000 kids that were missing essentially from APS during this COVID time. They weren't showing up to their Zoom classes. They weren't showing up to what was going on. And so they just kind of disappeared. So it's going to be interesting to see as kids are continuing to come back where that need is. One of our schools has already doubled their request. They were sitting at 50, and they're already saying, hey, can we at least get 100 packs? Because we've got so many more kids. And that's just of the ones who are coming back to school, because we know not everybody is. So the need has grown exponentially, and I don't know that we truly have a grasp yet as to what that number is going to be.
So when you work on an APS campus, APS mm-hmm. has done a good job of making sure that children can have meals in the morning
mm-hmm.
and in the afternoon,
yeah.
but there is no food for the weekends.
Yeah, so what we specifically work with inside of APS is the Title I Homeless Kids Project. Some schools are Title I, some schools are not. My understanding is this. When a school gets to a point where the need for the free lunches exceeds a certain amount, it no longer makes sense to just feed a certain portion, and it makes more sense to just feed the entire school. So at that point, you end up with a school helping, you know, ending up being considered a Title I school. And then inside of that, we've got our homeless kids project. So those are the kids that we're kind of reaching out towards. And it's the way that we're able to find them. Because how do you know which kids are needing the assistance? Well, the best way to figure that out is to go to the ones who are with them the most. That's going to be a teacher. That's going to be, you know, one of their athletic directors, you know, somebody who's watching them during PE. And then one place that a lot of the kids are found is in the cafeteria area. Though a good sign for something that's going on is when you see the kid who not only are they putting, you know, asking, hey, are you going to finish that? And sometimes that's, oh, I'm going to eat it right now. But a lot of times you'll start seeing things like, hey, are you going to finish that? And then you see it go in a napkin. And then that napkin goes in their backpack or in their pocket. because it's almost like they're squirreling away something because they know that they're going to need it later. And so signs like that are things that teachers and people are taught to look for in order to know, hey, you know, and so because of that, we know they have that access to the kids. And so the best way right now for us is to connect with them. And we've started connecting other ways with, you know, different programs and things, but that's a really good way to connect with those kids.
Before I go on to some of your other resources, which you have a lot, that you're really reaching out to the homeless population in the city of Albuquerque in particular, is I imagine that it's really a blessing for a child to get a snack pack. Mm-hmm. They're distributed discreetly. Mm-hmm. You can put these, their gallon Ziploc bags, right, and they can put them in their backpack. But I bet it may even be a bigger blessing to those teachers that are stressed out and love these kids.
Yeah, and that really is a big part of it. We had a lady, Mrs. Larkin was her name, and she was a teacher at one of the schools. And it's a school that we still help with today, even though she's not there. But she had come to me at one point hearing what we were doing, and she said, you know what, I've gotten to a point where the kids know I have snacks. And so the ones that are needing and are having a hard time, they're coming to me, and I'm having a hard time paying for them because I'm buying so much. And obviously, you know, in these situations, you're already not, you know, making a lot of money. And so then to be supplying all this food. So I started working with her and we started getting stuff. And eventually we took on their school. And it's been one of the larger schools that we have. That school right now is getting about 120 packs a week from us. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, those teachers have been amazing because even when everything was shut down, they would come get their packs. And then they knew the general area of town where their kids were, and they would go set up on the side of the street in their vehicle, and families would come by to get their snack packs. So even though they found ways in which to get the stuff to the kids. So that's part of the thing is you have teachers who are connected to these kids who are seeing the hunger problem to the point that Mrs. Larkin at one point explained how, you know, they can't step in until a student has lost the correct amount of weight.
Oh.
So she would sit there and with some of these kids and being like, okay, I can't help you yet because I need you to lose this amount of weight over the weekend. But because of this, we're going, okay, you know, you haven't lost enough weight yet on the weekend for us to actually help you out. It's heart-wrenching, and these people that deal with this day in and day out need assistance, and one of those things is Feed New Mexico Kids.
And when you work with them, mm-hmm. they don't have to wait for a child to lose weight. They just need a child that needs food.
That's the whole point, is that weekend is when the kid, because if they get breakfast and lunch provided by the school, then what's happening Saturday and Sunday? Mm-hmm. Our goal is to step in, and obviously it's not six full meals. But these are snack packs. They're enough that if a kid can, you know, spaces them out somewhat reasonably, then they can eat multiple times a day for that weekend.
And I can't imagine, Holly's described this, Holly Slade, yeah. who's also a sponsor of our programming here on KNKT and our show ABQ Connect, does, you know, Feed New Mexico Kids is looking out for a child. Can you imagine a third grader hasn't eaten yeah. Saturday or Sunday?
Right.
Trying to come to class and concentrate in class on Monday morning.
Yeah, that's exactly it. As an adult, if I, there's times that you'll skip meals or whatever, and you feel just a little cloudy or whatever, and and that's one thing. But to realize, hey, what if I've not eaten this weekend, and then I come and I'm supposed to be able to, do my math and do my reading and do all these things, and it's just really difficult. Because even, some of these kids are coming from situations where, yeah, they're supposed to get breakfast, but they'll show up and they show up late because if you're coming from the West Side shelter, you've got, it's like a 40-minute bus ride to into Albuquerque. You're going to, it's all the way at the old West Side jail. You're coming in, you finally get in, and they're going to drop you off around Coronado Park. then you and your parents have to figure out where your bus is for your school and get you to that spot, get you into your classroom. And so by that point, you may have missed a period. You don't know, but you've far missed your breakfast. So now we're talking about the kid only getting lunch that's provided. And so breakfast is long gone. So it just, there's so much that the kids are going through. It's such a difficult process. And we always say they have no choice in the matter. The kid can't go get a job. The kid can't go do this on their own. So, some people with homelessness, they'll be like, well, they should work, whatever the thought process is. But that does not apply to kids. They have no ability to go out and do this on their own. That's why it is our responsibility as churches, as leaders, as people, to reach out and see what we can do. And I'm so grateful for things like what Holly set up with Feed New Mexico Kids, where she will come alongside you as a church, as an organization, and help you build this program and help you see what you need to do so that you can do it in, you got a small group of people, fine. Maybe you take one school on and you say, this school needs 20 packs a week. Well, us and our five families, we can get together and we can take that school. That's fine. Let's figure out how to get the kids the food they need.
Dustin King is the ministry coordinator for Feed New Mexico Kids and the homeless outreach for Legacy Church. Also a soon-to-be father. We are just totally excited about that for you and Melanie. When we come back, we're going to talk about how people might drop off things at Legacy Church locations around town, and then talk about some of the other outreach to homeless in our city. We'll be right back with Dustin King right after these messages. Revival AI is excited to present a once-in-a-lifetime investment opportunity for everyday Christians. Through our SEC-regulated offering at revivalai.com, you can own stock in the future of Bible design and manufacturing. From content, format, and version to custom covers, be an owner of the only tech company to give Christians the power to design a personalized Bible. For as little as $100, invest in Revival AI, a company revolutionizing the Bible industry and bringing the production of God's Word back to America. Learn more at revivalai.com. That's revivalai.com.
After a long season of fear and anxiety fueled by an endless stream of bad news, you're invited to experience still waters. Rest in the Lord's goodness and mercy as He restores our souls and calms our anxious hearts at the Sheology Spring Gathering. Restore, Calm My Anxious Heart. Saturday, May 1st, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the amphitheater at Calvary Church on Osuna in Albuquerque. Experience a full day of worship with special musical guest New Beginnings Choir. And an encouraging message from Lenya Heitzig.
You don't need another teaching. You don't need another book. You don't need another tape. You don't need another combo. What you need is to see God.
Plus, a pop-up market, food trucks, photo booth, coffee and tea, tasty treats, and refreshing fellowship. Sheology Spring Gathering. Restore. Calm my anxious heart. Tickets available now. Details at sheology.com.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
We have Jesus fulfilling not just one, not just two, not just 10, 300 plus very specific things fulfilled. Prophecies given in some cases hundreds of years before him, like the crucifixion. He was to die with his hands spread out. He was to die lifted up from the earth. He was to die with his enemies below him, gloating up at him. Now, I'll have you know, those prophecies come to us in the book of Psalms before the method of execution called crucifixion was even invented. So as they were being vocalized, David must have been like, what are you even talking about? I've never heard of anybody dying raised up in the air with their arms spread out. Then the Assyrians come along and they're like, you know what? Death is too good for our enemies. We need to find a way to stretch it out and make it last longer. Hey, if we nail them to a cross and lift them up in the air, they could take longer to die.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or you can reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. And, of course, Holly is the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids,
yes,
which we've already mentioned.
Yeah.
Dustin, as a homeless outreach ministry director at Legacy, mm-hmm, Church, what are some of the other ways you're reaching out to the homeless?
Yeah, at Legacy, there's some different ways that we've begun to do this. We kind of separated it into three different things currently. We have a noonday outreach where we partner with the Rocket Noonday down off of 2nd Street. They're not too far from Coronado Park as well as the Steelbridge Resource Center. And we've worked with them to do for several years now to do once a month we do a service. Currently, we're doing mainly feeding in the parking lot because of COVID restrictions. And so, but we're able to get out there, talk to people, minister to them. We had 14 people 2 weeks ago who we talked to, we prayed with them, and they accepted Jesus. And there was about 100 people fed, but there were 14 people who actually took that moment and gave their lives to God in circumstances that are just tough for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then things like our Steelbridge outreach. We partner with Steelbridge, also down there on, it's 2021 2nd Street, and there we're able to do haircuts. We do a full service. Again, we actually have an L Kids, our kids program is there. So it's for the volunteers, but also any of the families who might come, who are homeless, their kids can go in, and learn at their level. And, you just kind of spend some time with them specifically. So we've really been able to grow that and see some great things happen. And then we have a streets program. It's called SOS Streets, and it's Serving Our Savior is what it stands for. And they go out and they cook meals and they have clothing, and then they go out to them. We go look for them, and we go in a couple of vehicles and we pile it up and we go find them where they are in their moment. And this happened on this last Saturday. We had an SOS event. And they went out, and again, they had 13 people accept Jesus. They prayed about 40, fed 100, gave clothing to about 80. And one person actually, after they prayed, was like, you know what, I'm tired of living this way. And they asked to be taken to the detox center. So we got them to the detox center, and they got them, got them connected. So lives can be changed, futures can be different than what they were, because we've got some amazing volunteers and people who are willing to go out into some pretty, rough areas, to some pretty bad situations, and just show the love of God, it's a term that people have thrown around for, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to literally go out into those situations and say, we don't care about what's going on. We don't care about the situation. What we want you to know is that we love you. We care about you. And more importantly, God cares about you and wants to see your life changed for the better.
Dustin, what resources do you need to actually meet the need of the homeless population in Albuquerque?
There's a lot of great people who are doing a lot of great things. One of the areas that that we are connected with is the Steelbridge Resource Center. There's two locations for Steelbridge. One is the location where they can actually come in, live, go through the program, and ultimately
hopefully, like a 6 or 12 month program.
Exactly.
We've had Travis Clark in.
Exactly, and he goes through that whole process. But they also have something called the Resource Center, and that's right off of the freeway there at 2nd Street and the freeway across from on the other side from Coronado. And they take clothing, they take donations there. I would say of everything, if you have men's clothing, and specifically pants, if you have men's pants, drop them off at that location. There is always a need for men's jeans, men's pants, because we have a tendency to wear them out. We buy a pair of pants and we wear it until we get the holes. Well, now it goes in the trash. Everything else has a tendency to get donated, and we will still take it, and it'll get to the people who need it, and it's wonderful. But specifically, if you have that, you know, you're looking, you're like, man, I've got those four pairs of pants that I used to be able to wear, and I was thinking I'll back into them someday. Just go ahead and bring them down to the resource center and drop them off. We can definitely use those.
I read a joke somebody wrote that said, you know, if something hangs in your closet for 2 years, it always shrinks.
Exactly. That's right. And I think it's the moths. I think as the moths eat them, they get smaller.
That is hysterical. So you do take donations of clothing. Do you know the Resource Center address by chance?
It's 2021 Second Street.
Okay. 2021 Second Street. And you can make donations of clothing.
Yes.
You also have food drop-offs for Feed New Mexico Kids at your church location?
We do, yeah. So any of the Legacy Church locations, the Rio Rancho one is in the Premier Theater, so that is only on Sundays. But all the other locations, the location off of Wyoming, Central, and then they're in Edgewood, New Mexico, all of those locations can be, you know, you can bring food at any point and drop it off there. As well as, like I said, there's, you know, as a whole, you could drop it off at the APS, substations and things, and they'll get it to them.
I want to back up, and you've mentioned Steel Bridge a couple of times and some things that you do with them. You're really encouraging other churches to help them. They're a separate ministry from Legacy, but you've come alongside of them. You've got a Sunday thing that you do, and taken some of your programs over there, and a lot of other churches could be helping as well.
That's exactly it. Steelbridge is its own organization. We're very thankful to get to be a part of that and to help push that forward and allow it to continue to affect people's lives here in Albuquerque and the state. They're always looking for additional help, and you can do that. I actually spoke with Travis, and he reminded me, have people give him a call, and you can do that at 505-346-4673, and talk to him about volunteering. They always have a need for volunteers. You can come and help. One of the things that you have happen is you have all the stuff that does come in for donations. You know, people need to go through that, see what's good, what can be used. So there's a bunch of, like, you know, if you're interested in coming in and sorting things like that, there's always the ability to come in and spend some time, even if it's not a long time, if you've just got a short time. But definitely call that number and get with them.
I want to mention to everybody that you could go to legacychurchnm.com and you can give to these various programs through their website. Find
Absolutely.
Out more information. Dustin, and people can reach out to you as well through the website.
You can. Through the website, you can go find it. Or you can call the church office and just ask them to put you through to me. And if I'm not there at the moment, you can leave a voicemail. And that's 505-831-0961. That's just our main church line. And just ask to talk to Dustin.
Dustin, the Feed New Mexico Kids website says, together we can end childhood hunger in New Mexico. Is that true?
It really is. If you realize that already between the two organizations, we're doing a good job. Like from the fact that just a couple years ago there was nothing to where we are now, I feel like we've grown and we're doing a great job. But it is not possible for Legacy to do it, and it's not possible for Calvary to do it. Everybody is going to have to step up and do. And again, it's not about being like, well, we can't do 800 packs. That's not what you need to do. What we need is, you know, what's the school in your area? What's the, you know, who's around you? Let's connect you with a elementary, with a middle school, with a high school in your area around your church, where you can minister to the people that are your congregation and the people you're wanting to come to your church anyway.
Dustin, thanks so much. Good word for us today. Good challenge. We need to all step up. And the Lord's already given us the resources.
Absolutely.
We just need to give them. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Most people have never memorized their vehicle's repair manual, let alone even read the small owner's manual in their glove box. Not to worry. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians and staff will guide you through all the ins and outs of vehicle repair and maintenance. Whether it is a car, truck, or SUV, we're here to help you maintain your investment. We are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And don't forget, we have free towing to our facility with repairs. Just call for details. With all that being said, there is an owner's manual that you do need to read and memorize. Yes, it's God's written word. In it, you find God's design and purpose for your life and how he made a way of salvation so that you and I may have eternal life with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Remember what David said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." This is John Chitwood.
So how is your stress level on a scale of 1 to 10? Stress is a thief, a robber of peace and joy. Here's Skip Heitzig with a pointed observation.
If you don't live with an anchor of faith, you're going to drift in a sea of anxiety. And most people in the world, they don't have anything to anchor. They have no real grand scheme or purpose in life.
We want to help you live with an anchor of faith so you can learn to lean into God in times of anxiety by sending you three powerful resources. Skip Heitzig's new booklet, Overcoming an Anxious Mind. His teaching, Worship in the Uncertainty on CD. Plus, the War is Over Worship CD. This bundle is our thanks when you give $35 or more today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig.
Jesus as Savior brings peace with God, but Jesus as Lord brings the peace of God.
Call now to request these three encouraging resources when you give 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Skip Heitzig shares a lesson with you from the story of Israel's temple.
What inspired them to finish the task was the preaching of these two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah.
It's amazing how God uses people to inspire change. Skip has a question for you.
What word is God calling you to? Is there something that you started, but you just sort of got discouraged and stopped pursuing? You stopped building?
Access Skip's full teaching library at connectwithskip.com. Now this.
You know, in Psalm 37, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I don't think that means just read your Bible every day and God will give you your little heart's desires. I don't think it means that.
Follow the Connect with Skip Heitzig podcast on Spotify.
He will put his desire in your heart so you have a new desire you never had before. God gave me different desires. Delight yourself in the Lord. See what desires he puts within you to finish the task.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We want to thank Dave and Holly Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors for sponsoring the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. We're on the phone with Dr. Brian Nixon. He is an assistant pastor, oversees education and publishing for Calvary Church. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be with you today.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, if we have no plans for the weekend, my friend, would you recommend a trip to the City of Holy Faith, Santa Fe?
I sure would. I frequent Santa Fe often, and there's so much that Santa Fe has to offer. So I would tell anyone to get up there for the day and take advantage of its many attractions.
Well, Brian, I always tell our listeners that to me, you're the most interesting man in the world because you truly enjoy nature, you enjoy biking, you have grandchildren, you're happily married. I mean, there's just a lot of things, but you come into the show frequently and talk to us about appreciating art, appreciating beauty, and seeing Christ in all of it. So where should we go and what should we do if we go to Santa Fe?
Well, if you're just focusing on one day, you're probably going to have to choose which area or district or neighborhood of Santa Fe you would like to go to. You could choose between the rail yard, and take advantage of all of its amenities. You could choose the plaza and its larger area. You could, of course, do the new Rufina area, which is off Siler, which is off Cerrillos, and that's where Meow Wolf is. And then, of course, there's Canyon Road and there's Museum Hill. So I think if you're going to do a day and really dig deep into those areas, you're just going to want to focus in on one of the areas and then just take advantage of what that particular area has in store.
Brian, share with us, I know that all of it's your favorite, so tell us something that you really enjoy.
Okay, so I'm going to focus on three areas. My favorite three areas are the rail yard, which, by the way, USA Today, Jim, has voted the rail yard in the top 10 of art districts in the country, and they're encouraging people to vote. So go to USA Today and vote for the rail yard Santa Fe and help it get up a little bit, you know, further on the list. But anyway, the rail yard and then the museums that are off the plaza. And then the third thing I really like to do are what I would call non-art things in Santa Fe. But let me begin with the rail yard. So the rail yard is called the rail yard because that's where our train ends up there in Santa Fe. If you were to jump on the train from Albuquerque and you go up to Santa Fe, you would end up when it stops at the rail yard. And there's three galleries there that really I've always had an affinity to because I do like some of their visual artists. And the first is Blue Rain Gallery. It is right there off the train station. And Blue Rain features artists such as Jim Vogel, who's an artist who lives in Dixon, New Mexico, and it's very New Mexico art. And then next door to Blue Rain is Charlotte Jackson Fine Art. And she specializes in modern monochrome and light and space art, so more contemporary. And then next to Charlotte Jackson, you have Evoke. And Evoke, again, is another artist, gallery that features many artists. But one of my favorites that they feature is a fellow by the name of Patrick McGrath Munoz. So make sure when you go to the rail yard area that you would check out those galleries. But the rail yard area also has George R. R. Martin's Jean Cocteau movie theater. It has restaurants. As a matter of fact, they just started to redecorate or reconfigure, refurbish an old warehouse, and it's going to be the New Mexico Museum of Art's contemporary building. So they're going to house contemporary art there in the Rail Yard District. So there's a lot going on in the Rail Yard District.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Brian, you've looked at art from all over the world. How would you rank Santa Fe as a world art center? I mean, you mentioned USA Today's ranking it highly. How about you?
Well, I definitely put Santa Fe in the top 10 of art destinations in the country. I mean, you know, it of course is the home of the George O'Keefe Museum. Santa Fe is also features some, you know, high quality art. So I would put it in the top 10. When you're talking about museums and art spots, you really have to say New York is still number one. I mean, it has the Guggenheim, MoMA, and everything else. You also have to put LA in the top five with the Getty and the Broad and all these things. And then, of course, Chicago with its, the Chicago Museum of Art. Kansas City, believe it or not, has an amazing gallery or museum called the Nelson Atkins. They also have a fine contemporary art. So these are major cities. But what's interesting is if you want, in my opinion, the best smaller city art destination, Santa Fe is definitely in the top three places in the country for that. I think per capita, Santa Fe offers more high-quality art than almost any other small city in the country.
So, Brian, we're focusing right now in the first segment on the art. We're going to talk a little bit about the people you're with as you're going up to Santa Fe. Maybe this weekend is a time of relaxation. We're going to do that in the second half of our interview here this afternoon. So take a person like me that's kind of a novice art appreciator, and I go up to Santa Fe and I see some of this modern art. I don't understand it. How much does it help to know about the artist when you're evaluating a piece of art?
Well, for me, I do get interested in the artist, and I get interested in their technique and everything else. But I think you don't have to know about the artist to really appreciate the art. What I tell people who may be novices at looking at art, start with the simple things. Look at the color. Do you like the color? Do you like the composition? Is it balanced? What is it about the subject matter, if there is a subject matter, if it's realistic, objective art? What's it communicating? If it's non-objective or abstract, how does it make you feel? So I think there's certain things that you could do without even understanding who the artist is. But Jim, if I were to take you as a person saying, we're going to go and look at art, I would probably start in the Plaza area, because the Plaza of Santa Fe really does have some of the better museums with some well-known artists. So I would probably say, Jim, we'd take the train up there. We would maybe spend a couple of hours at the Museum of Modern Art and look at some of the regional painters, maybe the Taos Society of Artists or the Santa Fe Society of Artists. Then we may head over to Site Santa Fe, which shows contemporary artists, maybe head over to the Native Contemporary Native Arts, and then, of course, end up at the Georgia O'Keeffe. And what this would do for a novice or someone just starting to get interested in the arts is they would see well-known, famous artists such as George O'Keeffe, and they would recognize and be able to appreciate them. And what's amazing is just from the plaza itself, you can see a lot of high-quality art within 3 or 4 hours. You could get within walking distance to multiple of museums just in the plaza area.
Well, I knew you were the guy to ask, because in your book Tilt, you kind of give some examples, and you gave us an example in your book Tilt about how to appreciate art and how to see Christ in culture, and you quoted, or you actually printed William Stafford's poem Reading the Big Weather, and I want to read the last two lines of that poem. You explain what he meant in the last two lines when he said, the earth we are writing keeps trying to tell us something with its continuous scripture of leaves. So the earth we are writing is telling us something with its continuous scripture of leaves. That's a fascinating passage.
Yeah, it is. And William Stafford is a fabulous, spent most of his career in Oregon, but was very attuned to the natural world. And he was of a Church of the Brethren background with his religious upbringing. But, you could really take that poem from different angles, but that last line really is amazing. How I interpret it is that the earth, the world that we live on, that we inhabit, and nature is always crying out, pointing to God, that design, that order, that nature is a testimony. It's a scripture, if you will, to the fact that there is a God. You know, it's as Paul said in Romans, just looking at nature is evidence that there's a creator. Just like we look at a telephone and we go, wow, someone must have invented the telephone, or we use a computer and we're thankful for all the engineers and programmers that made the computer. So too with nature. And so William Stafford is basically saying the earth we're on, the earth that we're riding, has the scripture of nature to remind us that there is a God.
I want to remind everybody, Dr. Nixon, as I mentioned, is part of the education process. He also is a teacher with Calvary College. We're in the middle of Student for an Evening. Last night, Brian taught theology, or no, you taught authenticity of the Bible. Last night, and that class was kind of fun, you told me.
Oh, it was fun. It was packed. We had over 25 students that showed up, and I did a specialized lesson called Choosing the Right Bible for You, and then I gave in the second half of the class kind of a little apologetic, if you will, of how we could use the Bible in our culture today. So it was really fun. And I know tomorrow night, there's another opportunity with Nelson Walker to sit in on the class. So I'd encourage people, to sign up online to sit in the class and learn more about Calvary College.
And you sign up at calvarynm.church/events. It is free. It's a chance to try out classes with Calvary College. We're going to be back with Brian Nixon to talk a little bit more about taking a date, maybe your spouse, maybe somebody you're dating, whatever it might be, maybe an old friend. Take them up to Santa Fe. Brian knows as much about Santa Fe as anybody, as you've already heard. We'll be back with Brian Nixon right after these messages.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
This week on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg walks us through the gallery of faith described in Hebrews chapter 11. We learn how to persevere in our own faith by studying the portraits of men and women who stood out for theirs. That's Monday through Friday on Truth for Life.
Weekdays at 5 p.m. on KNKT.
Knowing God from Harvest America with Pastor and Evangelist Greg Laurie.
There is no excuse for living in rebellion against the God who loves you. Look at verse 19 of Romans 1, and I'm reading now from the New Living Translation. They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Bottom line, God will reveal himself to the true seeker. So when someone says, oh, I'm seeking God, then they will find their way to Jesus Christ. I don't care who they are or what their state. How many of you have ever heard of Helen Keller? Well, Helen Keller, when she was a very young girl, had a disease affect her in a dramatic way. She lost her sight, her hearing, and her speech. She was effectively isolated from the world. But there's a lady named Ann Sullivan, and made it her life's purpose to reach Helen. And Ann taught Helen how to communicate through touch, and Helen eventually even learned how to talk. And when Ann tried to tell Helen about God, Helen's response was, she already knew him, she just didn't know his name. I love that. So God revealed to her, despite the fact that she couldn't hear, she couldn't see, God still made himself known to her, and he will make himself known to every person who really wants to know him.
You are created to know God. Find out how to begin a relationship with him by going to knowgod.org. Already know God? Invite a friend or family member to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Answers to questions about the Christian faith, instructions for growing in your relationship with the Lord, and video messages from Pastor Greg Laurie can all be found at knowgod.org.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon, Calvary Church Assistant Pastor, on the phone with us this afternoon. Brian, you are the most multitasking human being that I know on the planet.
Well, Jim, I've known some other guys who lead me in the dust, but I do stay busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Brian, I'm going to skip down my list a little bit and talk about one. I know that your wife goes up with you to Santa Fe quite a bit. As we talk about this, is this a leave the children with grandma and have some alone time with your spouse kind of date that we're talking about?
Well, I think, you know, when you are going to galleries and museums, it does tend to be a more adult thing. You know, of course, I drug my kids around since they were children, and and you know, whether they liked it or not, we went into galleries and they were always part of it, and I think, you know, they were enriched because of that. But by and large, I think, you know, your average kid would probably not want to look at art as much as they would want to be playing outside or doing some fun stuff. And of course, there's also some botanical gardens in Santa Fe. One of my favorite places in Santa Fe, believe it or not, is the Audubon Center, which is called the Randall Davey Audubon Center. And it's at the top of Canyon Road. If you just drive Canyon Road all the way up, just keep following it up, and it dead ends at the Randall Davey Audubon Center. And there is art up there as well, because Randall Davey was an artist who donated his house for this purpose. But you could take hikes in the foothills from the Audubon Center. You could, you know, look at nature. It really is a beautiful thing. So, you know, involving kids in a variety of things in Santa Fe, it's doable. But when you're talking museums and galleries, maybe choose one or two quick ones to go through the kids, and then get them engaged in some other things that they would like.
And this is not an expensive thing to go to the museums and things unless you start shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, all the galleries, of course, are free. Galleries are free because what separates a gallery from a museum is galleries, you go in and you could buy the art and you know, purchase them. But you could go in for free and look at the art, even if you can't afford to buy the art. Museums, on the other hand, showcase. You know, they exhibit the art, and it's normally not for sale. So, as I said, you go into the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum and you look at her art, but you're not going to buy it off the wall. Most of us could not afford, you know, $20 million as it is anyway. But yeah, even for New Mexico residents, there are free days for all the museums in Santa Fe. So you would just, even including the Georgia O'Keeffe, you would just look up what day is the free day and go up there. And not only can you go to the museums for free, but you could go to the galleries for free as well. So it doesn't have to be an expensive endeavor. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things I love about museums and galleries, is it's intellectually, it's engaging. You know, for me, it's a fun endeavor, and it doesn't break the pocketbook. You know, it's something that you could do for relatively little money.
I have the sense, because I know you're a musician, that if I ask you what your favorite song is today, it'll be different a year from now, because there's just constantly new things out there. So I'm expecting that if I ask you what's your favorite gallery today, that's probably going to change.
Yeah, it would. And I would really have to break it down into the regions. So let me just say my favorite two galleries in the Rail Yard district of Santa Fe. I do love Blue Rain Gallery. And I like Site Santa Fe, which always has amazing artists. And by the way, Site Santa Fe is now free. Apparently they got a grant that allows people to go in and see the art for free. So if I were to check out two galleries, or, you know, one museum, Site is a museum, but one museum and one gallery, I would definitely go to Blue Rain Gallery there in the Rail Yard, and then go to Site Santa Fe, which is a museum there in there. Now, when you go to the Plaza, as I pointed out, my favorite museums in that is the New Mexico Museum of Art. I love the IAIA Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, and I like the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum that's right there in the Plaza. if you're talking a gallery on Canyon Road, as you know, Canyon Road has so many galleries. You could spend your whole day just browsing in each one. But one of my personal favorites is Zaplin and Lampert. It's on Canyon Road. It's kind of halfway up to the tea house there. But Zaplin and Lambert, they specialize in both Santa Fe and Taos artists. So you really are exposed to some fine New Mexico-based art, but know that they're very expensive. I mean, this isn't a place where you're going to go buy a little print for someone. These are thousands upon thousands of dollars, but you're seeing high quality art. So Zaplin and Lampert is probably my favorite place on Canyon Road. You know, when you get up to Museum Hill, I love the Wheelwright Museum. I love the Colonial Spanish Arts Museum. I love the Native Arts Museum. So Museum Hill also just has a whole host. But, you know, talking of for kids, the Folk Art Museum on Museum Hill would be a really fun place for kids because it's art that is, you know, probably more approachable for a child. You know, there's a lot of fun things at the Folk Art Museum on Museum Hill. So, as I said, Santa Fe's chock full of little districts, and each district has, you know, a gallery or museum that I absolutely love.
How many visits do you need, Brian, to see it all?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think for locals, you know, don't try to see it all in a day. I would say, okay, over the next 6 months, I'm going to take apart the six districts, and I'm going to really showcase them. So, you know, like I said, you have the Rail Yard District, and then you have the Plaza, another day. And then you have Museum Hill, that would be another day. Then you have the whole Rufina District, you know, which has Meow Wolf, and a lot of other galleries are starting to open up there. You have Canyon Road. Each of those, you could easily spend a half day. So if you were to say, okay, I'm going to choose over the next 6 months, find the free day each month, go up there and take advantage of the museums during the free day, I think over 6 months just spending one afternoon, you could really begin to explore what it has to offer. And as I said, for a small city, it is packed full of things to do, particularly in relationship to the arts.
Brian, do you have some favorite food spots you like?
You know, what's funny is, you know, I always say when people ask me, what are the top non-art things? People go, you know, I may go into a gallery, but let's honestly, I get really, really bored. So what else does Santa Fe have to offer? And I say, well, for me, I love viewing the churches. So, you know, you go to the Basilica, the Cathedral, you go to San Miguel Chapel, which is the oldest freestanding church in America. You go to Loreto Chapel. I like to church hop and look at their architecture and look inside. But of course, the next thing I tell people to do is eat. And there are so many fine restaurants. And every area I just mentioned has their own restaurants associated with it. So Canyon Road, it's quite expensive, but Geronimo's is if it's a fancy date with your wife, go to Geronimo's. But really, my favorite place on Canyon Road is the Tea House, and it's not expensive. They have a full line of teas and coffee. They have amazing food. You get to sit outside. You get to soak up the air. So the Tea House on Canyon Road is my favorite place. You know, in the Plaza area, there's so many fine areas. But one that I think is just simple and I love is Plaza Street Cafe. It's just good food. It kind of gives you that diner feel. It won't break the bank. It's right there on the plaza, and that's another highly recommended place. Now, of course, you have the Shed that's also on the plaza. You have Blue Corn Cafe. You've got a lot of stuff that's on the plaza, but when you talk food in Santa Fe, you could just spend days doing that alone.
Yeah, and there's no calorie removal system at any of those restaurants, I can testify.
No, but one of the beautiful things is Santa Fe's small enough that you could walk it off afterwards. So have a big lunch and then walk to another gallery.
Brian, the Department of Tourism in Santa Fe thanks you, and I thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jim.
We'll talk to you soon, Brian.
Okay, bye-bye.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online. Quality Bible teaching seasoned with modern worship. This is KNKT, Armijo Albuquerque.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Today I'll be playing the role of Eric Metaxas. I know him pretty well. I think I can swing it. Here's the issue. On this show, I interview people. Typically, I interview people that have amazing stories. If you're not familiar with Ken Fish, who is now a dear friend of mine, you're in for a big treat. That's all I'll say. Ken Fish, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. Thanks. It's great to be back.
Listen, you. I met you at a spiritual warfare conference maybe 5 years ago now. I was working on a book, as I usually am. I didn't have time. Suzanne kind of dragged me. She said, no, you have to go. I signed you up. I showed up, and I saw with my own eyes God use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do healing and deliverance and all that stuff. Now, I always believed in this stuff, but I'd never seen it up close. And obviously, I was hooked, because ever since I came to faith, I've said, I want to see this stuff. John Wimber used to call it the stuff. When are we going to do the stuff? The stuff that Jesus did, the stuff that we're supposed to be deputized to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was through you, Ken Fish, that I really saw this up close for the first time. And of course, it has encouraged me to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Is that biblical, by the way?
I think it's quite biblical. It comes right out of 1 Corinthians 14.
What do you know? So, Ken, I want to introduce my audience to you who don't already know you. A lot of people listening right now already know you. Your ministry is Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S. That's the new name?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just ask you, in a given year, how do you spend your time? What do you do traveling around the world? Just tell my audience the highlights of what it is that you do.
Well, I spend the greater part of the year traveling. I travel nearly every week. COVID has changed the pattern a bit, because I haven't been out of the United States since February of 2020. But I've been busy inside the United States, and I hold meetings kind of all over the country. Commonly, I'm away maybe 3 days a week, 4 days a week, and then I'm home the remainder of the week.
But what do you do when you're at these meetings? How do you describe that?
We usually have some worship, and then I'll teach. And I guess I have a rather unique way of approaching the scriptures. I like to think of it as just Orthodox Christianity. I went to seminary and, learned how to exegete a text properly, and so I just teach from the scriptures according to whatever the topic is. And
but
then
Ken, when are you going to start talking about the stuff, Ken?
Well, you asked me what I do, so I'm just giving the progression of the service. And
all
then,
right.
But a ministry time. So when ministry time begins, I mean, anything goes. Sometimes I'll give prophetic words to people. Sometimes I'll pray for people for healing. Sometimes it'll be deliverance, as you mentioned. It could have a lot of faces to it.
Well, the reason you always start with teaching is because it's very important to you, because there's people who are skeptical about this kind of thing. They really shouldn't be, but they are. And you help them understand how this is biblical, because you wouldn't dream of doing anything that's not biblical. And that's one of the reasons that I love you. You went to Princeton. You're kind of brainy. You're able to break this down in a way so the people that are sort of weirded out may not be weirded out. The other thing that really blesses me about your ministry is that you, God really does use you, and it's obvious. The funniest thing, when I first met you, it might have been the second day of the conference. I'll never forget this. You said, okay, God is moving on some people over here. You know, you're hearing from God. And you said, I think in this row here, there's some people has a respiratory thing. This is about 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And no, there was like four women, and none of them, they didn't, you know, nobody raised their hand. And so everybody's thinking, like, gee, is Ken getting it wrong? Ken's not hearing from the Lord. He keeps pointing to this row and saying somebody has a respiratory thing and whatever. So you move on to some other stuff, and you're talking to other people. And then you say, I'm still getting the people in this row. There's a respiratory thing. Is there anybody in the woman?